Our scripture lesson today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Sorry, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to teach. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labors of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for how you continue to sustain us. And thank you, Father, for your word that speaks to each of us. You actually are speaking to each of us in the word. Have us be open to the grace that that conveys and the hope and the power. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I had should have thanked all of those who helped with the yard sale that took place this weekend. Did you know there was a yard sale here at the church this weekend? Did I happen to hear about that? Maybe, possibly. And I had a fun-filled activity the first 2 days of the yard sale. At least that was my job at the beginning in the morning. I had the privilege of standing out front directing traffic into the parking lot. And it was exciting. Let me tell you what. Even though people were coming and they knew that they were going to get wonderful bargains and outstanding deals like never had been seen before, there were still some people that came in these 2 days that were somewhat grouchy. Can you believe that? Or maybe in bad humor. Can you really believe that? And so there was one brother in Christ, and he and I had a spiritual encounter. And there were cones that were lined up, big cones, in fact, even this high, literally that high. And there was a sign, the total size of it was like this, like that. And the letters were about this big. And it said, no left turn. And the sign was about 2 feet away from him, so I knew he could see that. No left turn. And I was going like this, meaning turn right, no left turn. And all he did was go like this. And I would go and keep smiling. And he would go. And I kept going like this, and he slowly but surely started inching closer to me. And then I was praying, going like this, making my God arrow go, please. Well, finally, after he shared some words, neither of which were Christian or Methodist, towards me, he went on his way. And I hope that he found what he needed. I'm not sure. Trying to give directions to someone can be a challenging thing, can it? Physical directions. Well, you go up to this market, and then there's this little place right behind it, and you go in there, and you're not giving any street names, but you know the place, so you can go ahead and direct people like that. Receiving directions can be even more difficult. Receiving instruction can be something that's downright uncomfortable, can't it? And yet, being able and willing to follow how God is guiding us and God is leading us is at the core of our Christian faith. It's been said by some theologians that our faith starts coming into play at the very first moment of life. And from that point on, we just continue to grow as God's people. That's a profound thought, to think that God is guiding us in every moment, in every single breath. God seeks to provide instruction for us. And yet, if we read the Bible, we know that that's something that's communicated. Our lives as Christians communicate that as well. Some of you maybe have made mistakes in your life. Maybe. Some of you haven't. I know. I understand that. I'll be talking to you afterwards. But for those who have made mistakes, they understand that growth comes out of that. Certainly. There are the times whenever God is saying, you know, I want you to go that direction, and we're pointing another direction, and we keep going, and we go the direction that we want, and it proves to be unhealthy, proves to be difficult, proves to be more challenging. This is a reality of our Christian walk. Sometimes the way that God guides us also is challenging and difficult. But whenever we're following His path, He's going to be with us. When we're following our own path, we're not outside of His grace, we're not outside of His love, but we can find ourselves in some situations that are not only difficult, but are dangerous and hurtful and harmful. Following God's way is not something that I've found it's effective to try to beat people over the head with either, to try to hammer in, but rather simply to point to the Word of God and say, God works in this way, and it's a constant way, and it's a continual way, and it's a way that endures. We learn from mistakes, don't we? Hopefully. It's a newspaper editor that found out about power outage in a particular area. And he sent two reporters there. And he left them with this remark. Two reporters were sent. Said, the power lines are down and we don't know if they're live or dead. So one of you touch the power lines and the other one write the story. Sometimes we're touching those power lines, you know. Not really sure, and we're kind of curious as individuals, as human beings, and we touch them just to be able to see, and sometimes we'll get a jolt, sometimes it's okay. But in everything that goes on in our lives, there's growth that can be experienced. My friends, as Christians, we understand that it's not an easy path. And it's a path that sometimes makes us feel alone, but we never are alone. Paul was writing this to the early church at Corinth, and he reminded them of that truth. You're never alone. You never walk alone. It's a familiar gospel song that has that chorus in it. The church at Corinth, an interesting place, okay, historically. Kind of a crossroads geographically, spiritually, all sorts of ideas coming in, all sorts of convoluted theology coming out of it. There were individuals that were coming in that had worshipped idols and had been about following particular charismatic individuals. And it was difficult to kind of give that up. And Paul is saying to them, you really have to move on from there. You really have to be deeper in your faith and not simply follow an individual or worship an idol, but rather be open to the living God that has given you a whole new way of living. He uses that image of milk there also. Yeah. Anybody ever milk a cow? Some of you grew up in the country. Sometimes you get it in the eye. Sometimes you can actually get it in the pail. Yeah, absolutely. That kind of milk, that wasn't the milk that I was drinking there, by the way. I can assure you of that. But milk is something that a lot of people are familiar with. Milk is something that we grow up on. Milk, there's those advertisements, you know, with the milk mustache, all sorts of famous people trying to promote drinking milk. The dairy farmers put out those ads. And it's a good thing. However, we need more. And Paul is saying that. Paul said earlier in the letter that you are equipped with all sorts of spiritual gifts. He says that to them. You're equipped with spiritual gifts. And they're aware of the gifts of the Spirit that he would mention to the Galatian church, the church at Galatia. That's milk. That's a knowledge that we have. Milk is something that happens at the beginning of our faith, and sometimes we revisit it whenever we need encouraged or whenever we're going through difficult times. We need to be reminded of the truths of God, and that's spiritual milk that's easy to drink and take in. But we can't stay at that place. We can't stay at that place where we're kind of in a cocoon of warmth and love and nurturing. We must step out eventually on the journey that God guides us on. Meat is something that is nourishing. It's heavier. It's weightier. And while the gifts of the Spirit are milk, and that's a knowledge thing, that's a head thing, the thing that brings them into fruition, that helps us to be able to live the life of Christians, is love. And any time that we talk about love, that's meat. That's something that's deeper. That's something that's more powerful. Love is not just a box of Valentine's candies. Love is not simply a card. Love is not a Hallmark sentiment. It's something that is at the basis of what helps us to carry on when times get very, very difficult and when life gets challenging. Love is a reminder of God's touch upon us and God's ownership of us, and it reminds us that God is the one that defines us, not anything else, not anybody, not an event, not a circumstance in your life. Hear that again. Love is what reminds us that God defines us. Not a person, not an event, not a circumstance in your life. There's a truth, and this is your National Geographic moment, about eagle's nests. Whenever a mother first makes an eagle's nest, she gathers sharp objects, stones, rocks, thorns, all sorts of stuff, and that's what she starts making the eagle nest out of, truthfully. Then eventually, she starts filling it up with feathers, wool, things from animals that she's killed, you know, things to make it softer, to put the eggs in. So it's a nice, cozy, comfortable place to grow. Slowly but surely, as the baby eagles are fed, and as they start growing, and as the need truly comes about where they need to start getting out of that nest and flying on their own, guess what? She starts pulling out all the soft and comfortable things. Is it kind of nice to sit on that anymore? This place is not nearly as nice. The neighborhood has surely gone downhill. I think I might look for a new place. Eventually, those eagles, they learn to fly. They move. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that God's always going to put you in a comfortable place. Paul was sharing that with the church at Corinth. Just because you claim that name of Christ doesn't mean that it's all going to come together and everything is going to fall into place and your agenda is going to be met perfectly. Everybody's going to show up on time for you. Everything's going to line up. Paperwork is going to get taken care of. Appointments are going to be met. Good news is always going to be heard at the doctor's office. It's not the case. It really isn't. But we do know that as we are willing to grow in the midst of those challenges, as we're willing to see whatever challenge that is and say simply to God, Lord, how can I grow in this? How can I experience this fully? And how can I grow into a more mature Christian? God is going to bless us. We might not automatically recognize how it happens, but God is going to bless us nonetheless. Talking about endurance, getting back to that, I mentioned that earlier in the worship service. Talking about endurance is not necessarily a fun thing. Endure, go out there and endure. I don't know. That's not necessarily something that's going to draw people into a worship service. But endurance, nonetheless, is a spiritual gift. I want you to imagine, I want you to pretend with me for just a second that the Arizona State Lottery, one time, is not awarding millions of dollars, but they are awarding one spiritual character trait. That's the prize. Okay? Imagine with me. And there's an individual that finally comes up and guesses all the numbers. And this brother in Christ wins not millions of dollars, but the spiritual gift of endurance. That's his prize. And immediately, as soon as he wins it, boom, he has it. We visit him 10 years later. And what he has found is a great truth. He says that if he had won the millions of dollars, it would have been easy for him to quit. It would have been easy for him to give up on things like he had done before. It would have been easy for him to give up on his job at minimum wage, on his marriage, on going back to school and getting his high school diploma, all those things. But because he had that gift of endurance that God had given him, and if God gives you that gift, God's not going to take it away, and God's going to help you to be able to experience it in its full power. He was able to stick at that job, eventually get a promotion. He was able to work at his marriage, and eventually it grew into a better place. And he was able to experience renewal in his life, going back and getting his GED, going back and getting his diploma, because he was able to endure, to be able to follow the course that God wanted him to take, not the course of easy gratification, not the course of just instant happiness, but the course that leads to a deeper joy. I think maybe I've shared that with you before. Joy is different than happiness. Happy is a nice, big, juicy hamburger. Getting closer to lunchtime. I can say, hear some amens out there. Fries with a lot of salt. Just fresh and hot. That's happy. Joy is remembering that God sent his Son for us to bear our sins so that we can have salvation, new life, and resurrection. Joy, you see, only comes from God. And it only comes after we are willing to follow the path that he sets before us. And it only comes when we are willing to endure the challenges on the path as well, to be willing to grow. One of the great joys for me is how God speaks through other people. When they share with me, Pastor, Neil, guess what happened? And they've been going through difficult times. They've been going through challenging times. and there's an experience of God's grace that unfolds. And I know at that point, that person is no longer drinking milk. They're being fed in a deeper, more powerful way. I want you to be with me in a time of prayer right now. And as you hear the music play, simply consider this. God is guiding you. You may not feel it, you may not even think it, but He is. And it may take a moment for you to simply step aside, get out of yourself and say, Lord, I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to follow. Not my plans, but Your plans. Where would You lead me? Be open to that right now. It's a simple, humble request. You're God's child. He hears that request, and He loves you more than you can imagine. Be open to His guidance and His grace right now.